So, Nick, how have you been? We've been welcome to Putzing Around, everyone. We've been off for a few weeks.
Yep, we had a bit of our summer hiatus, and now we're trying to get back in the swing of things. So, yeah. I've been pretty good, Mike. Been busy, but, been good. How about yourself?
I've been good. I took a family trip to Ireland. Ooh. It was great. It was really, really cool.
Very nice.
It was a little tough with kids, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's long car rides and stuff, but they were troopers, and it was with my son and his cousins. And it was, I got to tell you though, so much better than I thought it would be.
Really?
Yeah, like really. I guess I didn't maybe not expect a whole lot, just because it doesn't get the same hype as a lot of other European countries.
Sure.
But it was great. It was incredible. The food was incredible. Beautiful seeing, you know, the countryside, and these old historical castles, and cool seeing where tons, like, you find the stories of like really common names like Donahue and O'Connor. Mm. Just seeing like these family names going back like 1,000 years, and like these special battles. It was great. It was terrific. Highly recommend it.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely on my list of somewhere I want to go. And you know, the couple of times I've been lucky enough to go to Europe, I'm always like blown away at just how much history is there.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the US. Like, I think things are old here in New York that are around for like 100 years, and they don't scratch the surface of something like Ireland or the rest of Europe. So it's just wild. And definitely somewhere I need to go as soon as possible.
There was one, just before we get into the other stuff, there was one thing at this place called Newgrange. It was like an old tomb made out of like tons and tons and tons of stones, like massive, massive tomb. And they managed to, there's only one window in, mm-hmm. and they managed to align it where the only time of year that light can penetrate the burial chamber from this window exactly lines up with dawn at the winter solstice.
Whoa.
It's insane that they could calculate this, like, you know, I mean, I don't even know.
It's 3,
like 3,000 years ago, whatever.
Yeah. It's like that scene in Indiana Jones.
Oh my God.
Where the sun lines up perfectly.
Yeah. It was nuts. And like, I kind of, you know, I was like, oh, that's a fun movie. But this was like, this was real. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like,
that's wild.
You know, yeah. I can't even set my microwave to the right time. I can figure out this. So.
Yeah, very cool. Definitely need to do some more traveling to that part of the world. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So on to our topics this week. You know, I got a birthday gift recently. My birthday was in June, but I got a boosted mini skateboard. Basically,
oh,
it came out a little bit before my birthday, and it just arrived a few weeks ago. And I've been having a ton of fun with it, and I just thought I'd do like a little mini review here. It's like
Completely,
a new product.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I really was not a big skateboarder growing up. I had plenty and tried, but just never really got it down. But living in New York City, you know, alternate forms of transportation are definitely common, and there's a lot of need for that in New York. You know, the trains are only getting worse. Uber and Lyft are great, but they're a little expensive and all that stuff. So
absolutely.
This has been a great, you know, kind of fill for those short distances, like 10, 20, maybe 30, 40 blocks max. But it's a ton of fun. It's really easy. They did a really good job. It's a California-based company called Boosted. A couple years ago, they came out. I want to say they were a Kickstarter, but I might be wrong. And they, for years, they've had a few longboards, which are pretty big. So this is their first like traditional size skateboard. It's the Boosted Mini. I think it's like $800, which is expensive, okay. But you know, not crazy. Their previous skateboards have been like $1,500, so this is a nice kind of step down in both size and price. And someone like me, who again, not a very competent skateboarder, have to be careful, have to wear a helmet, have to do all that. But otherwise, it is pretty simple to like get up and get going. And they've really made it a pretty easy process. There's a nice app on your phone that can like track your distance or your GPS location. You can check mm-hmm. the battery with it. And
how does it so it looks like a regular skateboard. I'm looking at pictures online. It looks like a regular skateboard.
It's chunkier, it's thicker because it has this big battery underneath, and the rear two wheels have this like little track belt motor that's attached to them.
So I see.
Maybe
okay.
At first glance it looks like a regular skateboard, but you can kind of tell pretty soon that it's a little different. And I will say it's quite heavy. It's like 22 pounds or something.
Okay.
But it's compact, you know, and you can hold it. I'm not a tall guy, but I can hold it standing straight up by like the top trucks. So it just like drapes down. So it's pretty easy to transport, and it comes with a little Bluetooth controller that has a little throttle wheel on it. And okay. It has like a dead man's trigger. So you need to hold the trigger, and then you can push this wheel forward to accelerate and pull it back to brake. It really goes in reverse, but essentially brake. And it comes with like, I think three or four different speed modes. So it's like beginner, intermediate, really fast.
Okay.
Top speed, it can go like, I want to say 19 or 20 miles an hour, which is too fast.
Oh, wow.
For me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm at this intermediate power level, which is like 14 miles per hour. And you can really cruise. You're going as fast as a bike, if not faster. You know, you don't need to pump. You can just basically I would pump a few steps to get going, and then you kind of throttle forward, and you really can cruise. So
and so the controller, so the speed and the braking, it's all controlled in your hand mm-hmm. with the little controller device.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the lag between? You know, if you need to brake and you press brake or you release it, like how quickly does it respond?
Very quick. Almost instantaneous. Okay. Yeah. They did it. Okay. I think they use like low power Bluetooth.
Okay.
But it works well. I will say like the first day I got it, I was like testing these different speed modes. And, you know, if you're like standing on it at like a dead stop and then accelerate, the first day I was on it, I like accelerated too much and the board flew out from under my feet and I like fell on my butt. I mean, I was fine, but you definitely need to get used to it. And it's a little powerful thing they made. So,
that's really cool.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And one of the things I was worried about was like these kind of terrible pothole-y roads in New York that are a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
But it handles them pretty well. I'm surprised. They've got these nice chunky rubber wheels. And it's got a little lip in the back, so you can kind of put your weight on your back foot. And yeah, really ride over, you know, not gigantic potholes, but most sizable things. And
okay.
It's easy because you can always just pick it up and, you know, carry it if you have to cross like a bad construction area or anything like that. So for me, it's been a nice middle ground of transportation between these long trips, like in a cab or in a subway. You know, because sometimes you just have to go 20 blocks and it's like, well,
right.
I could walk and it would take this, or I could get in the subway and it'd probably take just as long. So now you can kind of jet over there, and you don't have like a bike you need to lock up outside. You just have this skateboard that you can usually carry in depending on where you're going.
Okay. Do you still use it every day?
Depending on the weather, I don't ride it in the rain. Okay. And
right.
for what I do for a living, I tend to work in like a different place all over.
Okay.
I haven't taken it like over any of the big bridges into like Brooklyn or Queens. So if I'm working in Manhattan, which I do quite a bit, I usually will take that to work or to run errands. But I haven't done any massive trips with it yet. I'm still getting there.
Okay. So I'm looking at it online. It seems like it either a 7 or a 14 mile range. That's pretty good.
Yeah. There's two models. I have the base. It depends on what speed level you're going. And
I see.
Like,
right.
So at this intermediate, I think it can get somewhere about 8 miles, I want to say.
Okay.
Which I feel like is plenty.
That's great, yeah.
Comes with like its own charging cable, and it charges in like an hour and a half. So.
Oh, that's terrific. So you can charge it while you're at a place and
yeah.
then just go back. Okay.
Yeah, so you know, you just kind of shove the charger in your bag and yeah, ride wherever, and like if I'm going to work or something, I can charge it during the day and not worry about it. But
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I know it's like it was back order for a while, so not a lot of people have it. And even when I was looking at it, I was like, maybe the longboard would be better for New York, better on these bumps, better, has longer mileage. But, you know, after owning this thing for a few weeks, I would definitely recommend this for people that are, like, interested in this area, but maybe thought it was a little price heavy, the previous boards. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend this. I really want to get to, like, some, like, open roads in, like, a quieter part of America and kind of just, like, let loose with this thing. But it's been a fun mode of transportation in New York, definitely. So,
okay, awesome.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
That sounds great. Yeah, I gotta try it next time I see you.
Yeah, right.
So I thought we could also, because it's been a while, talk about maybe a Marvel Strike Force update in terms of characters. I know they've changed a few things in the game around.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start with that? I guess who are your top five kind of characters that you've been using now? Who are you targeting to get? What's your kind of strategy lately?
Yeah, you know, I think this game has been out like, what, 6 months or something? It hasn't been out crazy long. And kind of in the middle of that period, I thought it was kind of sputtering along and not really progressing as much as I'd liked. But in the past month, they've kind of really cranked it up. With like a high level of events and new characters. And I'm currently like really happy with where the game's at. So definitely a lot of fun. Event wise, in the last event, I got, what's his face? Chris Pratt, Star-Lord.
Oh yeah.
Who I was really excited about, and I've kind of built a little roster around him. Although he's not, they're not technically higher than my like tried and true like old school five that I've been playing with almost since the beginning, but they're getting there. So the team I'm using for Star-Lord, I use it in like Blitz and Arena a little bit. It's Vision, Star-Lord, Crossbones, Merc Lieutenant, and is that it?
Let's see. It's got to be a fifth.
Oh, and Rocket. Maybe. Rocket Raccoon.
Okay. So that's a big tech team.
Yes. They're all kind of like high damage characters for the most part. Vision not so much, but the other ones are, and they really survive off of Vision's defense up to tech units at the start of a match. And with Merc Lieutenant, who gives speed up and offense up, and then Star-Lord, who can give his own energy and can blind characters. Basically, off the first turn of a match, I'll target someone like a Quake or a Yondu. Like, someone that can really damage you in the long run, but in the beginning of the match isn't that scary. And first turn, you can usually take out a character just with, like, Merc Lieutenant, Rocket, and Star-Lord. So, really high offense. Ton of energy going around. So you get Rocket's ultimate, which is a massive AoE, and Crossbones as well. So really high damage team. I've seen them used on Arena with Black Widow instead of Merc Lieutenant, but I still do not have Black Widow.
So I've You're kidding me.
I still don't, man. It's absolutely crazy.
At this point,
I'm really close.
Wow. See, do you ever? She's not in the store anymore. Have you seen ever since?
I know, man. I was saving up
the last update. I have her, and I wanted to give her an extra star, and I was like, all right, I'll just buy her in the store, whatever. And she has not been coming up. I think they took her out, or they made her rare.
Yeah. It's killing
for those.
Me.
I mean, that's the reason we care about this, is because Black Widow is pretty much universally thought of as the best character in the game. Just because she has, she can give speed up to the entire team and camouflage herself so you can't target her. Her basic attack steals the bonus of the enemy she attacks, so that's good. And then her ultimate stuns and can chain and can bleed. She's basically like, and that she's the fastest character in the game. So it's that's someone that really pretty much everyone strives to get. So.
Yeah, and she's good in all facets of the game, like Blitz, Arena, Raid, Campaign. Yeah, yep. She's good at everything. So, I desperately need her.
Star-Lord is thought of as probably one of the top five characters in the game as well. Probably, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think he's ranked up there.
Okay.
He's one of those guys, just every move he has, like Black Widow, every move he has is good.
Right.
His first attack can chain up to three characters. His second attack blinds up to, I have to upgrade it more, but currently it can blind up to two characters and it gives two energy. And then his third attack is like a high damage that will get an assist from other Guardian characters.
Okay.
So when he's paired with Rocket or Gamora, right. I think it has a chance to assist from other characters too, but it's higher with Guardians.
Okay.
Just does a ton of damage. So, and he generates all this energy. So he's just a really good character. And he really rounds out, I wouldn't say a full Guardians team, but like a partial Guardians team with like Drax or with Rocket.
I gotta say, I started doing very well in Arena just because I started really focusing on it, upgrading my top five characters. I got a big damage dealer in Iron Man, and I was going up there. I was basically, I hit, I think, in the top, in my shard, in my server, for those who play, I hit in the 30s or the low 20s.
Wow.
It was great. That was only for like a day though. But basically I started getting smoked by all Guardian teams.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it like to the point where, you know, most games, even if the someone I'm going up against is like 20,000 or even sometimes 30,000 points ahead of me, I had an Avengers team. I was competitive and, you know, oftentimes I'd win, sometimes not. When I go up against a Guardians team now, that's even the same level as me. Literally I can't kill one character.
Wow.
I mean, I get smoked. Like, it's really, and I have a pretty decent team.
What's your Arena team right now?
So right now my top five, and these are the five I've been working on, really pouring resources into. So it is Iron Man is my best player. I've been really building him up. He's a great damage dealer. His basic attack, is great. Then he has an area of attack that has synergies with Captain America, and then his ultimate is like a does huge 540% damage against one enemy, and then Captain America, then Vision, then Black Widow, and then Quake.
That's a great team.
It's a really good team, but I'm starting ever since I don't know why, if they revamped the Guardians or whatever, but for some reason the Guardians teams that I've been facing have just absolutely smoked me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, and I think didn't they upgrade Star-Lord like within the past few months?
Yeah, he was okay, pretty lackluster to begin, and then with that Thanos buff, they improved Star-Lord quite a bit.
Okay, so that's where I've just been getting ridiculously. So now I'm like, all right, I have to basically start to, you know, mine a Guardians team or to farm a Guardians team. I just got Groot, who's very, very mediocre, subpar, but apparently with the other Guardians, he can act as like a second taunter and a minor healer. But I need to. I mean, they're all low level. And I don't have Star. I don't have Star-Lord. He's the best one. So.
I know. Yeah, he kind of is the linchpin of that team, like Nick Fury is for a Shield team. So
yeah. And they did also just do an update to the Defenders.
Yeah.
Pretty
big update.
You want to go into? Yeah. So it used to be they were all pretty garbagey.
Yeah. I mean, previously, like Luke Cage and maybe Jessica Jones, I saw every now and then. Maybe Daredevil a little bit, but the others were just pretty trash. And now they seem like Defenders with Punisher seem like a very, very strong team.
Yeah. And you never ever saw the Defenders in the top echelon levels of the arena.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw them, and for the first time, like I'm struggling to beat some of them.
And it makes in Blitz, like teams that used to have an Iron Fist or a Daredevil on them, I'd kind of go for those teams, and now I'm a little much more nervous about, you know, going head on against any of those characters, really. They're all significantly better than before.
Yeah. And I have to say, though, I really do like that the developers of the game did this.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it provides now variety. Like, it used to be there was a best combination of players, and, you know, everyone tried to get the same players.
Yeah.
You know, Captain America, Black Widow, and then they added Star-Lord, then they had, but now, you know,
yeah, there's
some of the top teams are an all S.H.I.E.L.D. team with, like, yeah, some of the minions even.
Yeah, there's arguably like 20 very good characters that can make a variety of like top tier teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago they were talking about nerfing like Quake and Crossbones and maybe even Yondu. And eventually they came out and they're like, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to buff other characters, which I think is in a game like this where people spend so much time, you know, virtual resources and real resources to collect these characters, to suddenly then get like if Quake took a big nerf and was significantly worse afterwards, like that really stinks.
Yeah.
So I really like what they did. Don't nerf characters, buff other characters to make everyone else better. I think that is a much better tactic. And yeah, now there is a lot of variation, which is part of the fun of this game, is building interesting and unique teams.
Yeah, yeah. And then now you can kind of, you know, even if the Avengers aren't your favorite, if you really love the Defenders or whatever, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you can now build a workable team around your favorite characters.
Yeah. I do kind of, especially with this Defenders update, I do kind of wish you could mix it up a little more. Like, they really want as many Defenders on a team as possible. Like it almost seems like the best Defenders team is all five of them, the Defenders plus right. Punisher. Like, I kind of wish there was a little more, like, mixing and matching that you could do. But so many of these characters' strengths come with synergy from other characters. So, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe eventually there'll be other pairings, like other city heroes or other like blaster characters, you know, like other similarities that they could build strong teams with. But right now it kind of seems like if you want to use like Daredevil, you use the Defenders team, which is a little boring, but I get it. It's fine. I mean, they are a team in the comics, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Did you ever play the Star Wars, like Galaxy of Heroes?
Yeah, a little bit.
It reminds me a little of that, where you could have a, you know, great individual characters, but if you played against, I forget what the team names are called, like but if you played against like a team with a ton of synergy that was way less powerful than you, you'd still lose.
Yeah.
To kind of incentive, and so they incentivized you trying to build a team around it from the story, which
it makes sense. I get it. But I do think it, like, then there's not as much variety in team composition, so.
Right.
Well, you know, they keep releasing new characters and it's only going to get, you know, more complex. And I do think, like you were saying, against the Guardians team, like sometimes you might have a great team, but it might just not be a good match for the particular team you're facing. Like maybe the Guardians just really give the Avengers a hard time, but might get wrecked by the Defenders. Like, you know, like.
Right.
So there are some nice back and forths you can have between these different teams. And, you know, obviously they want you to have as many strong characters as possible and as deep of a roster as possible.
Right. Which I like that, because it gets, you know, it's a game. And so it gets boring when you're playing with the same five characters over and over and over. And I like that now, you know, I'm incentivized to, there's a benefit to me trying out other characters and other combinations and trying to work them in and buff them.
Definitely.
That I like, because there was a period where it was getting a little repetitive, as you were saying, and now, you know, there is more variety in it, and so I get to try out new characters, which I like.
Yeah. Speaking of new characters, I know there's supposedly two or three coming out pretty soon, but new characters for me, the Iron Man event starts tonight. Eight, and I have five-star S.H.I.E.L.D. characters.
Oh my lord!
If I do not get him, I will be very upset. So
it's so fun to use him. It's really.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, just like in the movies, they made him fun to use. Like, it's a fun character. You're definitely I don't believe I struggled too much with the actual battles. Maybe they changed that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was not too hard. You were saying that it was, I remember when we were talking
for Star-Lord.
yeah, that Star-Lord was really tough to get, even with five characters.
You know, I think the big thing was I had Drax, Gamora, and Yondu, who were, like, good characters at five-star. Right. And then I had to use Boomer and Bruiser, the Ravengers,
right,
who were very low level. Even when they're high level, they're just not very good minions. They're not good characters.
Right.
So it was really a struggle. But I have, let me think, Captain, Hawkeye, who are the other Avengers? Who are the other S.H.I.E.L.D. Avengers? I don't have Scarlet Witch. Or I don't have Black Widow.
Black Panther?
No. I mean, I have...
Is it Minion? You probably have the healer, S.H.I.E.L.D. healer.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I do
Quake,
have...
Quake.
Oh, yeah, Quake.
Quake is what...
So I have those three, Captain Quake and Hawkeye, who are all very good. And then I have the other S.H.I.E.L.D. characters. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters are pretty solid now. Even without Fury, they can hold their own. So I'm hoping it'll be easier than those two Bruisers, those two Ravengers who are just awful.
Garbage, yeah. It's not... I remember... I think I got on my first or second try. and I had the same thing. I had Quake, Hawkeye, Captain America, the healer,
mm-hmm.
and then the S.H.I.E.L.D., like the Riot Gear S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I got S.H.I.E.L.D. Security.
Called. Security, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, let me know when you do it. It's a very fun character to use.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. So
yeah.
That's great.
The next one I'm kind of, like, farming for is Nick Fury, just because that... I already have a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters, and, mm-hmm. you know, so I'd love the synergy. I mean, he's supposedly great, so I'd love to give that a shot, but it's just so annoying to farm.
Yeah, where are you at minions. With your Kree minions? I have one.
I'm not there.
And the others are all four.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, all four. Oh, so you're like pretty close. You're closer than I am. I'm mine are probably at three and stuff. You know,
I'm looking at them now. Who is it? Kree Royal Guard is in the Blitz store, maybe. So he's at five. And then Kree Oracle is in the Raid store every now and then. So he's at like 4.5.
Yeah,
and then the other three. The Kree Cyborg, I just got to 4-star. Kree Reaper just got to 4-star.
Oh, that's ahead of me. They're probably at 3-star for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's so slow to farm some of these guys. Oh,
and I spend time basically, unfortunately, boosting my Storm just because I really love the X-Men.
Oh, no, dude.
As a child of the 90s, and she's terrible now.
She's terrible, man.
And then also Rocket, boosting him, and that it's
Rocket's
just,
really good. So
that's the thing. That's what, and he's a tech character. So I was like, all right, I could maybe mix him in with some of my top arena teams or something. But it's so I had business of not been focusing as much as I need to have been on Kree. I just hope they don't bring it back like instantly and give me a few more months.
Yeah, I'm curious when, you know, I didn't think they'd bring the Iron Man and Star-Lord events back so quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But and then if there's also new characters, they're talking about Mystique and Magneto. It's like, oh god, there's just so much to collect.
But that's I love that though.
So do
that's,
I.
That's the fun in it. Like it's if it was the same characters, you just get bored. I cannot wait for Magneto.
I know, and I feel just like his... Mystique's gonna be a boss, just like Scarlet.
You think so?
Or Black Widow.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. I mean, I hope they make Magneto great.
He should be. Like he's a major character, like the, you know, kind of the big villain in the X-Men universe. So he needs to be a huge force. And then they
great
can have
backstory.
A whole Brotherhood team with like villains.
Oh,
I mean, there's so many X-Men, it's like another podcast of characters.
Yeah. And aren't they're testing Venom, right? Aren't they?
Supposedly, there was a video on Foxnet's Twitter account showing Venom gameplay.
Okay.
And he's been in, like, the loading screen of the game. He's been in there, like, almost from the launch.
Yeah.
Not always, but every now and then they kind of mix it up. And he's been on there, so.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, I think it's October, they're doing that new Tom Hardy Venom movie. So maybe they'll save him for that, but we'll see.
Are you excited for that?
No,
not so excited.
I think tonally they don't know where to go with that movie. I feel like there's no like it's, you know, every other superhero movie these days, like, does not seem to have, like, one clear vision. There seems to be, like, a little too many cooks. So I think they're, like, going for, like, a... They're like, oh, it's a mature comic character, so let's rip off a little Deadpool. And let's, you know, let's... What works about Spider-Man, but darker? And I mean, I really like Tom Hardy. I like Venom the character. I just don't... I don't think that movie looks good at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I don't understand how they're going to do it. I mean, the whole point of why Venom has a big spider on his chest and has web shooters is because, and why he looks like Spider-Man is because he bonded with Spider-Man first.
Yeah,
so how do
before Eddie Brock.
So how are they going to, you know, like why does this, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I got to wait to see it, but
I think I'm not, from what I've seen, he's not really going to be like web slinging. He's going to do like the whole like tendrils thing.
Okay.
And I don't think his chest is like a defined spider. I think it's just like a white splotch.
Okay.
But still, it's just silly. They're trying to like reverse engineer it now, and Marvel's like, it's not really part of our universe unless it does well, and then we'll think about it.
Yeah. Have you seen the Captain Marvel trailer?
I have, and I think it looks really good. I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah. That one I'm excited for. I have never read a Captain Marvel comic book.
Nor have I.
Before it was announced, before the end of the Avengers Infinity War movie, when that symbol came up, I have to say, I had to look up. I was like, I was one of those people, like, what was that signal at the end of the movie? Because I didn't know who it was. I didn't know who Captain Marvel was. I had to read about her.
Yeah, I knew, like, from their upcoming slate and from casting and from, like, I think a while ago that name was mentioned and I like read the like wiki about her, but, not really familiar. And, did some research and, but then, ever since, Infinity War, I've been really excited for this movie. And, the first trailer looks good. She looks good. It takes place in the '90s and they set that from the first shot of the trailer.
Yeah.
With the whole Blockbuster landing. So,
Samuel Jackson is,
you know, it's
they
so
do that
funny
reverse age thing.
Dude, I showed that trailer to someone yesterday and they were like, oh, another superhero movie. And I was like, did you see anything weird in that trailer? And they're like, no. And I was like, did Sam Jackson look weird to you? And they were like, no. And I was like, how old do you think Samuel Jackson is? Like, he just is one of those ageless men who just looks great. Yeah. And they're like, I didn't really even think about it. It just looks like Sam Jackson.
Yeah,
like he's almost 70 in real life, and he's like in his 40s in that movie or something like that. And he looks insane. He looks great. They did a really good job.
Yeah, it's really it also kind of gets into the depths of like, it's cool when they're alive, but I understand in the last Star Wars movie, didn't they like basically
edit in Rogue One,
like Grand Moff Tarkin,
who died in like the 80s or something.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they had, like, permission from the family, but that character didn't even look very good.
No.
It was distracting. And at the end of that movie, they did young Carrie Fisher, who was alive at the time. This is a big trend in Hollywood. I think I've talked about it briefly before. Sorry, there's some noise outside of my window. I think I've talked about it briefly before, but there's a movie called The Irishman coming out for Netflix.
Okay. Okay.
Martin Scorsese directed it, and it is like it's like a Scorsese movie made 20 years ago. It's like Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci. It's like all the like old like mobster guys.
Yeah.
And they're using this de-aging technology for I don't know how much, but a substantial part of the film to young those guys.
Wow.
So it's a big trend. It's popped up, I'd say, in like at least two or three Marvel movies they've used this, maybe more. And sometimes it's looked really good. Other times, a little weird. I remember.
Yeah.
Do you remember that X-Men 3 movie like 10 years ago? Last
Which one
Stand.
Was that? Yes. Yeah.
They de-aged Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen for
for
a flashback scene, and it literally
and it was not good.
They were like rubbery action figures.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way. And I mean, you know, I like movies like Benjamin Button, I think, did some pretty groundbreaking stuff in that movie. But that was plot focused.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, some of these movies, I don't know. It's
you don't want
be
it to be
weird,
distracting.
Yeah, you don't want it to be distracting, and it's also just like, well, maybe we should just hire some younger actors and like give somebody else a shot.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you don't want to be taken out of the scene, you know, out of the movie. I don't want to like think, how did they do this, or you know, why does it look kind of crappy, as opposed to, this is seamless. Like just you know, just go with it.
Yeah. But it's definitely a trend I don't think is going to go anywhere. I think the technology is only getting better. And, yeah, we'll see more of it. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Should we save Fortnite for next week? Is that... Because we could do a lot about it.
I know, we could. Yeah, let's save it for next week. We'll just leave it with... I've been playing, I think, quite a while now. A few months. And I think you've been getting into it somewhat recently. How long have you been playing?
A month, all right. Say.
And the new season, the game's broken up into seasons, starts, I think, next week. So that might be a good time for us to really dive into that game, which is obviously Perfect. Big buzz. So, yeah, we'll save that for next week.
Great.
Awesome. All right. Good all stuff, right, well, Mike. Good to get back in podcasting mode. And hopefully Absolutely. We can keep the episodes coming.
Sounds good. And I will see you for week 10 next week.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.